Our first reading this morning is Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honour suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord." You have put gladness in my heart, more than when there are grain and white wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, made me lie down in safety. And our gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 49. Jesus appears to his disciples. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and you see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised, to stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And this is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Last week, a number of us from Morialta, mainly from the Evening Fellowship and the Social Justice Team, but a number of us went on a visit to Beit Shalom Synagogue on Hackney Road. And it was a great evening, wasn't it, those who went? Yes, good. The rabbi of the synagogue, Shoshana Kaminsky, gave us an interesting and important talk that just touched on some of the really significant aspects of Judaism. Some of the things I took away from that evening, that some people need reminding that the Jews are not people of the Old Testament, they are very much people of today. That we need to remember that the New Testament does not make the Old Testament redundant, which is why we sometimes refer to them as the Hebrew Bible. That Jesus and those who followed him 2,000 years ago would find the Judaism of today very, very different. Rabbi Kaminsky also spoke of what she sees as a major difference between the way many Christians read the Bible and the way the Jews approach it. Jews, she says, read it as an open text. Many Christians read it as a closed book. She refers to a bumper sticker that she often saw in the US. "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." The rabbi said the Jewish equivalent would be, "God said it, I believe it, now let's have a discussion about it." Afterwards, David Perling and I were talking about this, agreeing that while it may be where a lot of Christians are, we would hope that seeing the Bible as a closed book is not what we are about at Morialta, that our interactions with scriptures are as much about coming away with questions to ponder and explore as it is about being handed certainties about life. I think that David and I hope that our sermons here are the beginning of conversations between the scriptures and our lives and all that we are facing. And I think that this approach, this understanding of the scriptures, is especially important when life is feeling tough, difficult, or challenging. Those feelings that life is tough or difficult or challenging are feelings we see expressed often in the Psalms. Expressions of pain and confusion, complaint and lament. A rehearsing of what has happened, is happening, until the questioning and exploration often allows a shift of understanding, coming to a new way of seeing and explaining the world. We heard one of those texts, one of those Psalms on Good Friday. Wynne read it to us. One that Mark's Gospel tells us Jesus quoted on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. The psalm that John read for us earlier takes this journey of faith a little further. For don't be mistaken, it is from faith. It is the response of faithful people to call out to God in distress. It is a faith that affirms that God is on our side, even when it seems that the rest of the world isn't. It is faith that God is on the side of the distressed and the suffering, that God is present even in our lives, even as we feel abandoned. Oh, answer me when I call, O God. The psalm is a companion for our times of doubt and hurt. The psalmist shows us how to move through our distress, not by disregarding it or discounting it or dismissing it, but by helping us remember who God is and how God is on our side, even in our distress. Today's psalm is that of someone calling out in distress. And this isn't the first time they've been there. They've called out in their distress before, and they have known God's grace, God's spaciousness, God's reluctance to rush to judgment and condemnation. When distress has pressed in on them from all sides and has seemed to leave them with fewer and fewer options, when there was no place to move, in God's grace they found room, found space for a future, for hope. For years, for centuries, people have stood by the beds or the graves of those they have loved and fear they are losing with the words of the Psalms. For years, for centuries, people have seen their plans for their security, for their future dwindle away and leave them vulnerable to hunger and poverty, and found strength in the words of the Psalms. For years, for centuries, people have heard words that have tried to explain their misery, but have only left them feeling abandoned and isolated by easy answers, and found the words to speak in the Psalms. Through the Psalms, over the years, through the centuries, people have found the courage and the words to say that what is happening to them is painful, oh, so painful, that it is wrong. They have found the words to speak out their pain and their anger. They have found these words in the Psalms. They have found the words to speak from the depths of their pain and their terror, to speak from those depths to God. When they have felt abandoned by God, they have found words that acknowledge God's presence even in the midst of their pain. And in that acknowledgement, they have found the beginnings, just the beginnings of healing, of hope, and of peace. It was in the Psalms, as well as in the words of the prophets and in the books of Moses, the words of the Old Testament, for they were Jesus' scriptures and are still ours today. It is in those words that the disciples began to discover peace, to discover God's presence in the events of that first Easter. In the pattern of scripture, in the stories of Moses, in the lives of the prophets, in the cries of the Psalms, we hear again and again the words of those who trust in God, who proclaim God's way even when they are rejected, when they are judged and persecuted and even killed. Yet they are still affirmed by God, still know God's presence. As Jesus sat and ate with those disciples, men and women in whom both joy and doubt were mixed, Jesus wasn't proof texting to provide easy answers. Jesus was drawing their attention to stories of God's faithful people, Moses and the prophets and the psalmists, people who proclaimed God's word even in the face of suffering and rejection and were affirmed by God. Jesus' very presence was further witness to the way God affirms those who are faithful in proclaiming God's word, even in the face of suffering and rejection. And Jesus makes God present in the midst of the disciples' grief and pain and doubt and fear. Jesus makes God present by giving them the same space to express that pain and doubt that the psalmists speak of. When the disciples couldn't believe, Jesus didn't demand stoic certainty, but travelled with them in their doubt and fear to a place where they could begin to believe again. When the disciples couldn't believe, Jesus provided the witness they needed to enable them to continue beyond their grief and doubt, to discover and remember and rediscover that hope that is stronger than all darkness and earthly despair. That is sometimes what witnessing is about. It is about putting ourselves where there are people who are hurt and afraid and distressed, that so hurt and afraid and distressed that they cannot believe that they are loved and valued, that they cannot believe that God is for them now and always. It is putting ourselves in that place with them and believing for them. We do that around meal tables and around the scriptures, and in prisons and in hospitals and in homes and in churches. As the disciples saw the hands and feet of Jesus, the wounded hands and feet of Jesus, they were reminded that proclaiming God's word, living God's way, is not about being kept safe and comfortable, about avoiding danger and suffering, even suffering of the people we love. Jesus faced danger and suffering and had gone through it and not around it. Through it and not around it. Now, it's normal not to want to experience pain or danger, but when our fear, our distaste of pain and suffering keeps us from facing the presence of suffering, the suffering of other people, the suffering of creation, and discovering how we can be part of healing that suffering, then we are not witnessing to the hope and peace that is part of God's good news that Jesus brought to us. When the world looks around for the risen Christ, when people long for the peace that is part of the divine promise, they will find it in the hands and feet and bodies of those who have been prepared to face the suffering, to go through the danger and the struggle, to be brave enough to sit with those in pain and to speak out for those who are silenced. When those who are lost and afraid or hurt or even guilty don't feel judged or defined by their situation, but are invited to touch the signs of God's resolute, unwavering presence with them, then we are witnesses of all the things that we have known, all the things that we have come to know through the life of Jesus. And it is not from a position of strength and certainty we are called to do this, but from the history of all our own doubts and struggles. It is only 4 months ago that we were celebrating Advent and Christmas and reading the stories from the beginning of Luke's Gospel. Stories of fearful people being offered peace as they are invited to be part of sharing God's life. Zechariah, Mary, the shepherds in the field. And here, as the Gospel comes to an end, fearful people, grieving people are again offered peace and invited to be part of sharing God's life, sharing God's word that is not closed in a book, but set free in faithful and fearful people. In the midst of fear and confusion and weakness, even when it seems we have been defeated or abandoned, we meet the risen Christ. We hear God's word of peace. We are able to touch points of pain and respond to the call to witness, to live out God's good news in the world, even as it comes to us each day. I invite you to continue to reflect on God's word that comes to us through the scriptures, through the care of others, through our own life experiences. I invite you to continue reflecting as we sing together, Lord of All Hopefulness, number 613, if you like to use the book.